Today, I told Sarah that we kept it simple today because really what I want to do is sort of just summarize what powers Daniel towards faithfulness in a foreign land. We talked about this a little bit last week, but I want to kind of summarize as we close our series on Daniel. There's kind of two sections to the prophetic book of Daniel. The first six chapters, when you read Daniel, are really, they're stories. They're what would be called court narratives of Daniel and his friends being faithful in a foreign land. It's stories of how they overcome obstacles, how they face persecution and face different challenges and yet remain faithful to God, remain steadfast in the way that they honor the word of God. And those first six stories that make often such popular kind of Sunday school stories promote this idea of this is what obedience looks like, this is what faithfulness looks like, and this is what it looks like to live in light of God as your Lord. And then really what we see in those first six chapters are stories, testimonies that exemplify the instructions that are given in Jeremiah 29. At the beginning of this series, we looked at that. Joel looked at that for us, where God is calling the people of Israel to engage with Babylon, to not withdraw from culture, not withdraw from the community, but to participate in the life of the community, to build houses, to plant gardens, to plan to stay, to seek the welfare of the city. Well, in the first six chapters of Daniel, we're seeing that taking place. We're seeing Daniel, we're seeing Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego doing that. We see faithfulness from the people of God. But then the second half of Daniel really switches. It's almost like a completely different book, because what we have in those last six chapters are prophetic visions that Daniel has of the future of God's people, the future of God's kingdom. And the visions are eschatological, which means that they're focusing on the future of humanity. They're thinking about this is what's happening in the future of humanity. This is what's going to happen in the future of our exile. What's going to happen when God shows us that He's still faithful to us? When we get to see the promises of God fulfilled. Daniel's receiving these while he's in the midst of exile, and the visions are meant to reassure Daniel, to reassure God's people that in spite of the exile, in spite of the persecution, that God's still in control. He's in control of human history, and He will see His purposes through. And Daniel himself is strengthened by the knowledge that God will ultimately triumph over evil. And just as Daniel's strengthened, we're strengthened as we think about kind of the global evils that we see and that we hear about and that we are aware of. We can be strengthened by the knowledge that God's purposes will ultimately come to pass. They will ultimately prevail. And so what I want to talk about today is the way in which our belief in God's promises, what we think about the future, the hope that we have in God, shapes the way that we live today. That our passion, our belief, our steadfastness in our future hope influences our present faithfulness. A.W. Tozer, who wrote amazing things, was an Alliance theologian and pastor and writer. But in one of his books, The Knowledge of the Holy, he says that what comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. What comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. And what he's suggesting, what he's ultimately trying to say, is that the way in which we view God, His sovereignty, His glory, His goodness, well, what we believe about his promises and the way that he fulfills them, the way that he sticks to his promises, the way that we view him as a father, what we think about when we think about God ultimately is going to shape the way that we live today. And that's what we're seeing in Daniel. We're seeing ultimately a story of God's people shaped by their hope in the Lord. And so what I want to do today is really just talk about hope. I want to talk about hope. Hope is something that is inherently human, right? It's like rocks don't have hope. Fish don't hope. Humans hope. We hope. We have hopes. And so much so that when we lose hope, like, it drastically impacts our desire to live, the way that we live. In fact, if you've ever read Dante's Inferno, like the way that the gateway of hell is described is that there's a sign there that says, "Abandon hope, all who enter here." Like, hell is described as a place of hopelessness. The further we get away from God, the further we are entrenched in hopelessness. Hope makes all the difference in the world to us. Hope is something that orients us, that makes us forward looking, that gives us dreams. It's a belief that the future can change the present. And Christian hope is when we believe that God has promised that something is going to happen and we put our trust in that promise. Christian hope is the confidence that what God has said will come to pass, because it's God who promised that it will come to pass. And it's an incredibly important part of our faithfulness. It was important for Daniel and the people of God who are stuck in exile, who are, you know, they're wondering, you know, like, there's a psalm, I think it's 137, that talks about how the people of God, as they're going off to exile, their captors, their persecutors, picking on them. I don't know why I can't think of a better word than picking on them. Picking on them is not severe enough of what they were doing as they're dragging them off into exile. But my mind's going blank. So they're picking on them. And the psalmist says, they're demanding that we sing our songs to them, but how can we sing our songs in a foreign land? Like, there's this hopelessness that overwhelms them as they're going off into exile. Like, how are we supposed to sing our songs? How are we, like, who are we now that we're in exile? But what changes that, what sustains them, what provokes faithfulness in them through the generations in exile is hope in the Lord. Because oftentimes when we think about hope, we think of like sort of like an uncertainty, like, I hope this might happen, you know. But in the Bible, when the people of God talk about hope, when the scriptures teach us about hope, it's a certainty. It's not just a fond wish, it's a certain future based on God's faithfulness to his word. God is always faithful and true. And so oftentimes when I struggle with hope, it's because I'm being blinded by the reality of my present circumstances, right? I begin to lack an imagination for what could be, but as the people of God, what God calls us to is to have a better vision of the world, a better vision of what things could be, because of God and his promises. And so the hope of the Christian is to look to the things that we can't fully see yet. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 that for this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. So we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but to the things that are unseen are eternal. Hope is eternal because our hope is in God. Daniel's hope was in God. And the opposite of hope is despair. Despair is the absence, the complete lack of hope. And that's why we become anxious anytime we feel like we're losing hope, or more likely what's happening in us is that we've placed our hope in things that can't sustain it. We place our hope in kind of our own success. Place hope in our vision for our family. We placed our hope in the promises of people who fail us. If our future, if what we hope about our future, is not secured and satisfied by God, then we're always going to be anxious. We're always going to be scrambling after false hopes, and that's what that leads us to is just a paralyzing fear, or like an overwhelming desire to control. And those are both temptations that the people of Israel had going into exile. Fear, desire for control. But what God was using the prophets of the time to do is to remind them of his promises, remind them of his faithfulness. There's a passage in Jeremiah that we're gonna read the whole section in a few moments, but it's just rehearsing the promises that God gave to the people in Exodus, in Deuteronomy. It's just reminding the people, look, I'm always faithful to you. I'm always faithful to you. And as we allow our hopes to be secured, then we stop thinking about ourselves. We stop worrying about the future. We stop being focused on our problems or even just our potential. And we find a freedom that allows us to live and live faithfully, to live fully as God desires for us to live. That was the game changer for Daniel. And so as Christians, as the church today, Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 1, the call for us to be the church, to be the people of God, is to set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. What he's saying there is it's a present future tension. Like, you have the grace of Jesus now, but there's a greater revelation of Jesus Christ that we could set our hope upon, because Jesus, the one whom God raised from the dead and gave glory, so that your faith and hope are secured in God. That hope shapes us. What we hope about the future shapes our present faithfulness, because all of the promises of God, the promises that he makes to Daniel, the promises that he makes to Jeremiah, the promises that he makes to Moses, all of the promises of God that we've been reading about across the Old Testament over the past 7 months, all of them find their yes in Jesus. And our hope comes from the promises of God that are rooted and secured in the work of Jesus Christ. That even though our eyes aren't anchored on what's easily seen, we have this faith-fueled vision of what's to come in Jesus. What God's Word paints for us across all of the Scriptures is a future to set our hopes on, a future secured in Jesus, that the best is yet to come. There is more, that this is not the end, that the things that trouble us today, the present suffering, the light momentary affliction, that's not the end. And that's what drives us as God's people to participate in the world redemptively. It's what drives us to get on our knees and pray for the world to be a better place, to because we believe it will be. We believe it can be, because God's kingdom is forever. And so that hope that sustains us, that hope that Daniel had, the hope that we're inspired by when we read those stories, it's a hope that drives us to believe that there's more. That there's more. And so sometimes the cancer is not cured. You know, sometimes poverty remains poverty, and sometimes marriages fail, sometimes friendships end, sometimes there's heartbreak, sometimes there's suffering and hurt and loss and ache, and yet in the midst of that, what Jesus reminds us of, what he speaks out of his own sorrow, is that hope wins. That hope always wins. In the end, life will overcome death. Joy will overcome sorrow. Freedom will overcome bondage. Triumph will overcome loss. That's the promise of the resurrection. And it's the promise of God fulfilled in Jesus. Because he loves us. And so with respect to Tozer, I don't think that the most important thing about us is what we think about God. I think it's what we think about what God thinks about us. Does that make sense? That was weird to say. That was really weird to say. The most important thing about us isn't what we think about God, but it's what we believe God thinks about us. Because what the Word proclaims over and over and over again is he loves us. And he is faithful to his people. He's faithful to his people. Romans 8 says that he, God, who did not spare his own son but gave him up for us, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Or the way Eugene Peterson said it, if God didn't hesitate to put everything on the line for us, embracing our condition, exposing himself to the worst by sending his own son, is there anything else he wouldn't gladly and freely do for us? That's our hope. It's the same hope. It's a hope that we could be secured in because of Jesus, but it's a hope that sustained Daniel in the lion's den. It's a hope that sustained him when he was being persecuted with his friends for trying to obey the Lord. It's the hope that sustained Jeremiah as he wept over the ruins of Jerusalem and mourned their exile. It's hope that sustains our faithfulness today. And of all the visions that Daniel has about the future, this is the one right here where we see that his hope was ultimately, he didn't realize it, but ultimately his hope was in Jesus. Because in Daniel 7 it says, I saw in the night visions, behold, with the clouds of heaven there came one like a son of man. It's Jesus' favorite phrase to call himself. And he came to the Ancient of Days, that's God, and was presented before him, and to him was given dominion and glory and kingdom that all peoples, nations, languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom one that shall not be destroyed. And so Daniel's in the midst of a kingdom that is not his own, a kingdom that is oppressing his people, a kingdom where the one who sits on the throne is someone who does not believe in the God that he serves. He does not honor the Lord with his faithfulness, does not worship God as the creator of all things. But what Daniel sees in the midst of his suffering, in the midst of his exile, is he sees a vision of a kingdom with the Son of Man on the throne, Christ given the throne. It's the same vision that the church is given in Revelation, where every tribe, tongue, and nation gather at the throne of King Jesus as a kingdom that is everlasting. It's a kingdom that the Lord is already establishing. And Daniel sees that vision, and that gives Daniel and his people the future hope they need to be faithful today. I think another way to look at it is if you went to Jeremiah 29, and I'm going to read a part of it here for you, but if you went to Jeremiah 29, we've seen and read and talked at length about the commands of God, the lifestyle that God calls his people to. In Jeremiah 29, verse 5, he says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I've sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon, build homes or build houses and live in them, plant gardens, eat their produce, take wives and have sons and daughters, take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage that they may bear sons and daughters, multiply there, do not decrease, but seek the welfare of the city where I've sent you into exile and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for its welfare will find your welfare. That redemptive participation, the way that they engage the world, all of that is possible, and all of that is ultimately compelled because of the promises of God that come just a few verses later are true. Jeremiah 29, verses 10 through 14 says this, that for thus says the Lord, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will visit you and I will fulfill to you my promise and bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare, not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. And then you will call upon me and pray to me, and I will hear you, and you will seek me and find me. And when you seek me with all your heart, I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations and all the places where I've driven you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back to the place from which I sent you into exile. And so God desires, his desire for his people this entire time is to give his people wholeness and a hope and a future. And it's a promise that is that comes clearly from God to his people that says, I'm going to bring you back to me. I'm going to bring you back to me. I'm going to help you turn from sin and trust in me. I'm going to restore you. I desire your good. I have plans for your welfare, not for evil. I want you to have a future and a hope with me, calling upon me, praying to be being heard by me. It's hard to be faithful, especially in a foreign land. It's hard to sustain faithfulness because we see the injustice, we see the pain, we see the violence, we see that the kingdoms of this world are irrevocably broken. And it's easy to lose hope. But the word of the Lord to the people of Israel in Daniel's time, and the word of the Lord to the church in Jesus' time, the word of the Lord to us today, is that God's promises are not finished. And his kingdom is forever. And he's giving us a future and a hope in his son, Jesus Christ. And our hope in King Jesus is what motivates our faithfulness today. It compels us towards redemptive participation in our communities, to be the incarnated people of God in our neighborhoods, to seek the good of our city. C.S. Lewis in Mere Christianity said that if you were to read all of history, if you just read the history of the church, the history of Christianity, you would find that the Christians who did the most for the present world were precisely those who thought the most of the next. Do you understand that? Those who thought the most of the next world did the most for the present one. The hope we have in Jesus, the hope we have in the promises of God, the belief that he is coming to make all things new. If we really believe that, then it compels our faithfulness today. It compels the work that we do, the way that we live as salt and light, the way that we live in the world in a way that cultivates resurrection wherever we go, the way that we seek the welfare of our communities is motivated by the hope we have. You see, there's this belief that's growing in our present time that the brokenness of the world, the revelation that America is not a Christian nation should ultimately provoke Christians to kind of retreat and separate themselves and close themselves off from the dangers of society and the evils of the world. It's growing in popularity. If you haven't heard that notion yet, you will. And it was the same temptation of God's people in Daniel's day. But what does he call them to? He says, no, you're my people. You live in light of me. And I'm not done with you yet. And I'm not done with this world yet. And he calls the people to redemptive participation. He calls upon them to be the kind of people that get engaged, that that live believing that the promises of God are true today and tomorrow. And the Christians who believe, who set their hopes securely in the Lord, are the ones who participate in the renewal of all things. They're the people who are ambassadors of God's reconciliation. They're the people who seek the good of their cities. And that's the kind of people I want us to be. That's the people I believe that we're called to be. To be like Daniel. Not simply because he's some perfect model who had it all together, but because he so believed and set his hope in the promises of God that he lived in a way that changed the place that God had sent him. That's who the people of God are. That's who we're called to be. Amen? Let's pray. God, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for the way that you teach us from your word, that the stories that echo across the ages just kind of repeat themselves. And we can look to these examples of faithfulness. We can look to the truth of your word and anchor our hope in you. God, may we just constantly look to your promises. We know, God, that you desire our good, good for us, good for our welfare, not evil. You desire a future and hope for us. And we praise you for that. We praise you for the future and hope that you've promised us. That's available to us in Christ. God, remind us that we're secure in him. That we can rest in our hope because of Jesus. And so, God, because of that, we seek you, just as your word says, that we seek you all the day long. Help us to seek you the everyday stuff of life. Just help our attention, help our affection just to be constantly set on you. And may this life that we experience, this Christian life that we seek to be faithful in, would that continue to be a life of seeking and finding. Seeking and finding you as we're seeking you with all of our hearts. And experiencing your good plans for our lives. Help us to hold on to the future and the hope that we have in you as we walk through this world. Jesus, it's in your name that we pray these things. Amen.